Good morning, everyone. My name is Shell. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a privilege to be talking to you guys this morning. Hey, what a big day we've already had in church so far, right? Thank you so much, Shanae. That's just, wow, what an era is ending here, and we do wish Shanae all of the best in future endeavours. So we've got sadness there. We've also got joy as we've got a preferred candidate for our pastoral search. So lots going on in our church community. If you weren't here last week or you've missed out a little bit on some of the sermons that we've been doing lately, we are in the middle of a series called Encounters with Jesus. So these are stories from the Gospels about people who have met Jesus and their lives have been transformed. They have been transformed. And we are going to, last week I preached and I spoke about the woman at the well, and it was a to be continued sermon. So we're going to hear the rest of that. I hope no one was too stressed and too anxious during the week waiting for the last part of this sermon. Are we all okay? Yeah, okay, we're okay. Excellent. Well done. Now, can I ask, how many of us didn't have breakfast this morning? Okay, is anyone feeling a bit hungry? Yeah, okay, we've got some stomachs growling. Excellent. Okay, I have some amazing helpers, and they are going to bring forward some lovely bread rolls fresh out of the oven with some butter. If you're a gluten-free person like myself, just pop your hand up, and they will bring you a special one. Yeah, okay, so special gluten-free ones over here. Now, when you receive your lovely fresh bread roll with the butter melted on it, we're not going to eat them just yet. Just smell them and feel the warmth. We're going to eat them together, okay? So gluten-free people, yes, okay. I see there's a hand over here. Excellent. All right, so they're coming around. As they're coming around, I'm going to give you a little bit of a previously at the well. So let's have a bit of a refresher. Okay, so previously at the well, Jesus and his disciples have been journeying by foot, and they are currently in a region by the name of Samaria. Samaria is inhabited by Samaritans, of course. Very easy. Now, the Samaritans and Jews despise each other, and they have done so for several hundred years. They have tried to destroy each other's temples. They've done some fairly nasty things. Life is fairly difficult back in the ancient world. It's a very patriarchal society, and it's a very racist society. So the very fact that there is a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan woman is a bit of a clanger, and people watching on are going to feel a little bit anxious about this exchange and what's going on. So during the course of this dialogue, the Samaritan woman, she moves from thinking that Jesus is some rude, delusional weirdo to perhaps someone that has some legitimate prophetic gifting. And then she kind of progresses to a point where she's even thinking, hey, this guy might be the Messiah. This guy might even be God. And the scene cuts. We cut the scene last week. She is rushing off into the sunset. No, not the sunset. It's the middle of the day. She's rushing off to the horizon, and she's about to tell all of the people from her village about this thing called living water that she doesn't really understand, but it sounds amazing, and they should come and get some too. So they're all going to come back, and they're going to talk to Jesus. So today, we're going to start the scene from right there. We've got on the horizon, there's all these people from the village. Maybe there's some like dust as they're coming. The disciples have returned. They've got some ancient takeaway for Jesus to eat for lunch. And they're going to sit down and they're going to have lunch with Jesus. And this is where we pick up the story. John 4, 28 to 30. May I have a piece of the gluten-free if there's any left? Because I feel like I need to... Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, thanks. Oh, amazing. Thank you. It does smell good, doesn't it? Are people's tummies rumbling? Yeah. Okay, I'll talk quick. Okay. Right. So the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. What we notice immediately from this is that she has this compulsion. The moment she hears, something happens in her and she is immediately compelled to go and share what has happened. with people who have previously been very unkind to her. She's had this stigma. She's been an outcast before, but something has kind of come over the top of that, and instantly she feels like she needs to go and share what has happened. Everyone else's opinion of her doesn't actually matter at this point. She also begins the story with an empty water jar. Now, we will see that the water jar is still empty, but it has been left beside the well. She came to the well wanting water. She's left without her jug, but she's left with something. Somehow or other, she has this sense of being filled with something. Got something to do with the living water that Jesus was talking about. And more than that, her impulse is to share it with others. And then a third thing happens. The people from her village respond. So it's like they have now overcome whatever this stigma is. They've overcome this because something so attractive, so transformative, so inspiring has happened in this person that suddenly they see her differently. It's attracting attention. This is attracting serious attention. Her previous stigmas are shattered and they come. This is not an ordinary day in the village. When God transforms someone, it gets the attention of those around them. Okay, then we see, meanwhile, the disciples are urging Jesus, "Rabbi, come eat something." Now, scripture tells us that they were thinking in their brains, "Gee, what on earth is he doing? Why is he talking to her?" But the thing that actually comes out of their mouth is, "Jesus, can you eat something?" Okay, so it's kind of like they've been hangry or something. I don't know. Do you ever get like that? Like when you get really hungry, suddenly you become really literal and you become really focused, hyper-focused and a little bit frustrated, a little bit antsy. And look, I don't even care what you're talking to that woman about. Just let's just eat. And then Jesus comes out with this. He says, I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. I'm sorry, what? Did someone bring Jesus? Did he have that food all along? What? Oh my goodness, a bit frustrating. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. And Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God, the one who sent me, and from finishing his work." Huh? What? Okay. Yeah, so is he a little bit low on blood sugar? Is he possibly a little bit dehydrated? We're not sure. Okay, it is now time to pick up your bread. We're just going to take a minute here. The disciples say, "Take it and eat it. Rabbi, eat something." We're going to do that. So you can have a nibble of your bread. And as you do, does that feel better? I feel like everyone just instantly relaxed. I saw faces changing when I said that you're... Yes, okay. There's something really great when you're really hungry, when your tummy is rumbling, when you take that bite, when you smell it, when you feel it on your tongue, suddenly you go, that's better. But Jesus is saying that he gets that feeling, that nourishment from doing the will of God, the one who sent him, and from finishing his work. Okay, so where did this food come from? Okay, so you're a disciple. You're thinking really literally. Jesus is saying he's feeling this when he's doing the work of God. The disciples are going, "Hang on, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm hungry. This is not making sense." Where did it come from? Has he had the food all along? No, his food is doing the will, the desire of the one who sent him, and doing his work. Last week we said water is very important for the human to survive. And the living water that Jesus offers gives eternal life and refreshing life at a deep soul level. So it's one thing to drink water, but for your soul to receive that kind of refreshing, life-giving water, that's what comes from God. And Jesus is saying here, food is the same thing. Yes, food is essential for us to live, but there is something that only Jesus offers that is deeply life-giving at a soul kind of level. And he's saying what that is the work of God. That is doing the work of God. Now, let me stop here for a minute, because if you've been around church for a little while, you may have heard something that goes a little bit like this. If you are doing the Lord's work, if you are working in the power of God, then you won't wear out. If you're doing it in the power of God and you're feeling tired, it's because you're striving. Now, there is a grain of truth to that. There is absolutely an element of truth to that, because when we engage in the work of God, he gives us gifts. He gives us strength and power and special anointing for the things that he calls us to. But let me draw your attention to the very beginning of this passage. Why is Jesus sitting at the well? He's sitting at the well because he's tired. God made our bodies. He knows. He made them in such a way that they require water. They require food. They require rest. And that's not bad. That's natural. That's God-made. We need to look after our bodies. We need to look after ourselves, because otherwise we're going to go splat like a bug on the windscreen, and then we're no good to anyone. So we do need to look after ourselves. In the same way, God designed us to require connection with him as well. If we're going to experience life as it should be, we need more than rest. We need more than water. We need more than food. We need connection with the living God. Now, I don't know if you remember a story about Jesus back in the desert. He was being tempted by Satan. Satan appeared to him. He said, "Hey, if you're really God, you can turn these stones into bread and then you won't even be hungry." Hey, what does Jesus say? Jesus turns around and he says, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." They don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, let's think about some other things that God has spoken. Do you remember creation? When God speaks, what happens? Creation. When God speaks, things come to life. So when he's saying that people don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, when Jesus is saying that his nourishment comes from doing the work of God, he's talking about life-giving things on this planet. The work of God is giving life to the planet. Okay. So our bodies can live on food and they can live on water, but to be fully alive is to be connected to God and engage with his life-giving work in the world. That's where we find our purpose. That's where we find dignity and meaning and hope and joy. Only then are we truly alive. Not just our heart beating, but we are truly and fully alive. And the woman at the well, she felt like that. She felt alive for the very first time in her life, and she couldn't contain it. She had to share it, and she ran back to the village. Which brings me to this question. What is this work that we're talking about? Okay, yeah, the work of God. Yeah, I don't really know what that means. Okay, let's remember the context. The disciples are hungry. They're having a strange conversation about food with Jesus. And on the horizon, there are people coming. They are fast approaching. And it's all happening in real time. And Jesus says this: 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe for harvest. Look up. What are they looking at when they look up? The people coming. Look up, he says. The people, their harvest is ripe. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it is true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now they will gather the harvest. Look up, he says, look up and see the people coming. This is the harvest. This is what I'm talking about. They want what you already have. They want to be connected to God too. They want the joyful, abundant nourishment that you have. This is the harvest, and it's here. But something new and different is happening. Let me explain this. As city dwellers, we may not quite get this. If you've lived in the country, maybe on the wheat belt, you'd probably have a better idea about this. He's talking about the 4 months between harvest, between planting and harvest. So farming would happen in a very orderly fashion. There would be the planting of the grain. Then there would be the waiting. The planters would plant, there'd be some waiting, and then the harvesters would come in and harvest. And there was a season to everything. Everything happened in its good time. Everyone had their job, and they knew how to do it. Plant is plant, harvest is harvest. But something new is happening, he's saying. Jesus, in breaking into the world, has unleashed life. Remember, life comes from God's mouth. Life has been unleashed in a way that no one has ever seen this before. There is planting, which is relationship building. It's caretaking, it's witnessing, it's loving. And there is harvesting, which are those moments when people grasp God for the first time. There is planting and there is harvesting, and it's all happening all at once. And sometimes you're planting and sometimes you're harvesting, and it's like a joyful chaos. That's the situation that is unfolding now. God has disrupted the rhythm. The harvest is now, but we're also planting now as well. People don't have to wait till the end of their lives to be connected with God. So don't make them wait. You'll be planting and you'll be harvesting the word of God with your brothers and your sisters in Christ, and it will be joyful chaos. Sometimes you will see the impact of the life that you live and the care that you show for others, and sometimes you won't. That doesn't mean that you stop planting, though. And if you are someone that is there when someone gives their life to the Lord, well, that doesn't make you a rock star evangelist. That just makes you Johnny on the spot. Because this person probably has other people praying for them, probably has other encounters with Jesus, probably has all sorts of things going on. We are all in this together. We are planters. We are harvesters. We are the workers of God. Wow. It's chaos. The work of God is a team effort and it is messy. So here is my question to you. You who call yourself disciples, is your life a joyful chaos in terms of evangelism, in terms of speaking the word to the people around you? How much joyful chaos is there in your walk with Christ? Can you see the growth of people toward God? And are you being nourished by the work of God? Let me just sit with that for a minute. Are you being nourished by the work of God? What does that look like for you? Okay. So then we get to the next section. Now it's the turn. The people from the village have arrived. They've been in transit all this time. Now they have arrived. Now everyone is around the well. And it says this: many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and to believe. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because what we have heard for ourselves. We now know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." There is something so incredibly special when someone takes hold of Jesus for the first time. There is something beautiful about a friend sharing what's happened in their lives and another friend coming to the Lord. I mean, that's where it's at. It's one thing to see your friend's life change, though, isn't it? It's another thing for your very own life to change. Now, I'm going to stop preaching right here, and I'm actually going to have Bev and Ernie take over the sermon. They're going to hijack the sermon here because I want them to share with you the testimony, what God has done in their lives, because it's a story. It's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like the sharing, someone coming to faith and someone else wanting that. So sit back and watch Bev and Ernie as they share what God has done in their lives.
Hello, Bev and Ernie. It's so lovely to be chatting with you. I hear that you guys have a really amazing story about how you came to know Jesus, and I was hoping that you'd be able to share that with us today.
Thanks, Shel. That'll be great. Yes, I'll start off if you like. I was about 22 when I came to know the Lord, and that came about because a girlfriend and I used to meet on a Tuesday night while our men went to the hotel to play darts, and so we would come and swap houses on a Tuesday, and we would do crossword puzzles and talk about life. Invariably, religion came up, and she said, "Bev, there's someone that you'd probably like to meet. He comes to my house, and he's got a tape recorder and tapes, and it's stories about Jesus." She said, would you like me to send him over? And I said, sure, send him over. So a couple of weeks later, an old chap by the name of Reg Wisson came and he talked to me about Jesus. And he said, would you like to accept Jesus? And I said, yes, sure. So that's how it all began. I accepted the Lord. And then he said, you need to tell someone you've done that. And there was a couple on another farm. And so he said, I think you should ring Jan and tell her, which I did. And then they invited us over to their home. And I said to Ernie, we've been invited. He said, well, I'm not going because they'll Bible bash me. So I rang Jan and said, look, Ern doesn't want to come because you might Bible bash him. And they said, look, we promise we won't say a thing about Jesus or the Lord. So we went across and had dinner with them and had a lovely evening. And then when it was time to go home, Jan said, I've got a record here that you might like to hear. Records back then, no videos or CDs. And it was on Billy Graham on the Home. So I played Billy Graham on the Home. Ernie took the kids up to the bedroom because he didn't want me to indoctrinate them. And so I listened to it. But then Ernie actually heard it too. And so I'll let Ern go on from there.
Yeah, and when we got home, I was glad that I had a wish they had have said something. And I listened to this tape and about the family. And then went to bed, and 2 o'clock in the morning, this voice said to me,
you must be born again.
You must be born again. And I thought, this is funny. Anyway, I was wide awake, and he was still talking. And I was so frightened, I grabbed hold of Bev. And then I eventually got out of bed and kneeled by the bed and asked him into my life.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Ernie and Bev. That's incredible that you were able to hear that voice in the middle of the night. But I hear that you didn't tell Bev straight away, despite this amazing experience that you've had. What happened there?
You went. The old chap, Reg, that led me to the Lord, he was involved in Christian Businessmen's Committee. And that was, they would go to country towns and have Christian businessmen's testimonies and they'd give a message. And so he invited Ernie. So Ernie went across to Mora. Yeah. And what happened?
200 men there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd only just become a Christian.
Yeah.
And I gave them my testimony.
And meanwhile, Bev didn't even know.
No.
No? How did she find out?
When Reg let her listen to the tape.
And how did you feel when you heard that, Bev?
I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, so that's why he's not swearing now.
Oh, my goodness me. And so what changed for you guys having had that experience?
Oh, wow.
Everything.
Everything. Our whole life turned around, didn't it?
Yeah.
We started going to church.
Yeah.
In Dalwallinu.
That's right. You stopped going to the pub.
Yep.
Stopped drinking.
I had a friend on the same farm as us, and we used to go every Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Or whatever, one night a week, he'd come down and bring 3 or 4 bottles of beer and we'd drink them.
Yep.
He came down this time and said, no, I don't want any.
Yeah.
I'm not having any more beer.
Yeah. Wow.
No, haven't had a drink since.
That's amazing.
1963, four.
No, we better edit that bit because we were married in 63. It was 67.
67. Yeah. Wow. So you guys have been following Jesus now for many decades.
That's right.
And you've raised kids believing in Jesus. And I want to ask you, Do you reckon it's worth it?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a change in our lives. And every day is a new day with Jesus. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, his mercies are new every morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. My boss couldn't believe it. I wasn't swearing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really great, guys. Hey, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for being a part of our church for so many years and for your faithful service. We really love and appreciate you guys.
It's been a pleasure. We've enjoyed it so much. Yeah, haven't we?
Yeah.
All those years, yeah.
Yeah.
But don't think your testimony ends there you make a commitment.
No.
Because every day should be a day for Jesus, and if the opportunity presents, share the gospel. Yes. Share how much Jesus loves them and cares for them. Yeah.
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 That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're very, very thankful that old Reg came along and led me to the Lord, and that then led Ernie to the Lord. And
yeah.
I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's an amazing peace that you have right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
When he's ready, he'll take me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will. Hello, Bevan.
How did that land for you when he said, I'm not afraid to die? Wow. I think for some of us in this congregation, that's a question that is actually current. That's actually something that we're facing at the moment. So my question is, do you have that assurance? Do you want the same kind of assurance that Ernie has? Because you can have it. All you need to do is say yes to Jesus. It's that simple, but you've got to say it for yourself. You can't just get in on someone else's faith. You've got to have faith of your own. What about giving up smoking? What about giving up drinking? What about that power in your life for the everyday, the everyday obstacles? You know, you can have that as well. You can have that as well. Jesus offers it. All you need to do is say yes to Jesus. We're going to have the band play a song, Send Me. We played it a little bit earlier. The reason that I'm going to get them to play this song is that I just feel like God is saying to us, as a community, some of us, we need to step out for ourselves. We need to own this faith for ourselves, not just someone else's faith. We need to say yes to Jesus on our very own. And you can do that today. Now, you can do that in your heart and you could stay seated if you want, but can I encourage you to actually come forward? Can I encourage you to actually come down the front? So often we hear a sermon, we hear something, and we say yes in our hearts and we go home and, okay, I'm guilty. Yes, I've done this before. I've gone, oh, yeah, I'll get around to that next week. Today's your day. Instead of just saying yes in your seat, why don't you come forward? Why don't you come forward and say yes to Jesus for yourself today? I'm going to get the prayer team to come forward. There will be people here. We want to pray with you. So I'm going to give you that invitation as well. The other thing I'm going to say, I have a word. I have a strong sense in this new season where we are looking for, we're looking toward our new senior pastor coming. We're looking at welcoming Leash and Peter. I feel like God is actually wanting to unlock something in us as well. This is a new season for us. And I wonder if in your spirit, as you've been sitting here today, the Holy Spirit may not just be jumping up inside of you saying, hey, I've got some work for you to do. There's something that I'm calling you specifically to do. And if God is calling you to do something, and if you can feel that Holy Spirit in your heart right now, I'm going to ask that you come forward as well, because I believe that God is unleashing new works in your lives, in this church, This is a new season for us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Today is your day. So if that is you, you can come down the front. We're going to pray with you as well. So let's stand as a congregation and let's sing, Send Me.